Salaamu ala Rasulullah. Wabad. So we continue with Ulum al-Quran, this brief summary of Ulum al-Quran. And last time we mentioned that it's either Surah Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq or Surah Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir that was revealed first. Which one is more correct, Usama al-Asan? Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Why? How about Muddathir? How about the hadith of Jabir which says the first thing that was revealed was Surah Al-Muddathir? He's a Sahabi. Doesn't matter. Okay, exactly. So Jabir says, "Ya when Abdul Rahman, Salama ibn Abdul Rahman, Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman asked him, which of the Quran was revealed first? He said, Ya ayyuhal muddathir. And Abu Salama argued with him. He said, I heard that it was Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So what was the explanation that he gave in this regard? Anybody remembers? Okay, we said that one of the explanations we gave is that after the wahi, the revelation stopped for a while, that was the first which was revealed. But the very first was Iqra, and then the revelation stopped for a period of time, then it started again. And another explanation that we gave, another explanation we gave was that the Surah Iqra is the first in regard to proving the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other one in proving his message, because it's telling him to go and deliver the message. Qum fa amir.
What was the first one?
Iqra. First reason? Is that one of them was the very first, and the other the first after the wahi, the revelation stopped for a while. And this while, some people say it's extended, it was actually a few years. Some people say 3 years, but it is after a while, after a long time, yeah. Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhum. His father was killed in the battle of Uhud, I believe. Abdullah. Okay, the next question. The revelation of the Quran could be with A. Everything that revealed the Quran had a specific reason for its revelation. B. Some of it had specific reasons and some of it did not have. C. All of it did not have specific reasons for its revelation. And D, all of the above. E, none of the above. Let him ask me. Which is? Good. Some of it has specific reasons, others do not have. No, it has specific reasons. They're asking what specific reasons. Yeah, all of the Quran, of course, there is a reason for revealing the whole Quran, of course. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't do anything without specific reason, without a reason, sorry. Nothing is done by Allah Azza wa Jal futilely without a reason. But no, we need specific incident or specific cause that caused the revelation of a certain ayah. That's what you're talking about. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. What's the specific reason for its revelation? No, the specific reason, which means the incident that led to its revelation. The specific incident leading to its revelation. Okay? Yeah? If this is the time that it was revealed, then yeah, that would be a specific reason for its revelation. Or it could have been revealed before, and then when he was asked about it, he said it. But yeah, I mean, that could be, if this is authentic, then this would be the reason for it, definitely. Yeah. Well, if you understand what we mean, then that's good enough. What we mean is that something that prompted the revelation of the ayat. That's what we mean. Because some ayat, they could be revealed at any time during the whole message of the Prophet ﷺ, and there is nothing that makes them make it necessary for them to be revealed at a certain time more than others. Whereas if Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, revealed the ayat from Surah An-Nur about the mula'ana and about those who fabricate lies against the believing men and women, if it was revealed early in the message of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, that would not have given much weight or benefit, because the reason for them was not there at that time, and people were Allah was dealing with other things in teaching the Muslims, as we will see very soon, inshallah. Okay, now the asbab al-nuzul, what we call is the reasons for revelation, knowing them is important for many reasons. Some of them are the following. Number one, now we can write on the board, inshallah, the benefits of knowing asbab al-nuzul. First, to show bayanu anna al-Qur'an nazala min Allah ta'ala wa dhalika li'anna an-nabi yas'alu يسأل عن الشيء فيتوقف عن الجواب أحيانا حتى ينزل عليه الوحي أو يخفى عليه الأمر الواقع فينزل الوحي مبينا له. First, to show that the Quran was revealed from Allah, and that and this is shown by that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would be questioned about something and he stops the answer, he doesn't answer immediately until the revelation comes, something from ghaib that he doesn't know. They ask him, he says, he waits, or he doesn't say anything, or he says something and the revelation comes and corrects him, or he says, I will answer you and inshallah, and the answer will come to him later. But this also all is a proof that it is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Example of this: يسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. They ask you about الروح, about the soul or the spirit. Say الروح من أمر ربي, it is from my Lord's command, and you have not given of knowledge but very little. The occurrence or the reason for the revelation of this ayah is explained in Sahih al-Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that a man from the Jews said, Ya Abu al-Qasim, ma al-Ruh? O Abu al-Qasim, what is the Ruh? What is the soul? فَسَكَتَ وَفِي لَفْظٍ فَأَمْسَكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He remained silent, and in another report, فَأَمْسَكَ, which means the same. He withheld from giving an answer, and he did not say anything. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Ibn Mas'ud is saying, I knew that revelation is coming to him, which means the revelation came immediately from Allah. In that case, he was silent in a way that he could tell Ibn Mas'ud that it is being revealed to him. فَقُمْتُ مَقَامِي. I stayed in my place. فَلَمَّا نَزَلَ الْوَحِي قَالَ. When the revelation came, he said, he gave the answer, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلْ رُوحٌ مِنْ رَبِّي. They ask you about the ruh, say a ruh is from my Lord's command. Another example, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُونَ لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُّ. They say, when we return to the Medina, the more honorable ones in it will drive away or drive out the lowly people or the more degraded ones. ففي صحيح البخاري أن زيد بن أرقم رضي الله عنه سمع عبد الله بن أبي بن أبي رأس المنافقين يقول ذلك يريد أنه الأعز ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه الأذل. يريد أنه الأعز وأن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه الأذل. So he meant, Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu said this is in Sahih Bukhari, that he heard Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was the head of the hypocrites, he heard him say that sentence, which means when we come back to the Medina, the people of honor will drive away the people of the lowly people. He means that he is the honorable person, and the Prophet ﷺ and his Sahaba are the lowly people. فَأَخْبَرَ زَيْدٌ عَمَّهُ بِذَلِكَ. So Zayd told his uncle about this, and his uncle told the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ called Zayd, and he told him what he heard. He summoned him in front of him, and he confirmed that he heard this. Then he summoned Abdullah bin Ubay and his companions. They swore that they did not say it. فَحَلَفُوا مَا قَالُوا فَصَدَّقَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم believed them, because they swore that, yes, by Allah, we did not say it. So he had to believe them. But then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Quran, which confirmed what Zayd said. So the ayah came to prove Zayd's words. فَاسْتَبَانَ الْأَمْرُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the matter became clear to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So and of course Allah responded to them by saying, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ. عِزَّة, dignity is to Allah, وَلِرَسُولِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to His Messenger and to the believers. So the first reason is that Allah reveals the Quran to confirm as a proof that it is the knowing the reasons of revelation is to prove that Allah Azza wa Jal that it is from Allah Azza wa Jal. The second, بيان عناية الله تعالى برسوله في الدفاع عنه. It shows the care of Allah Azza wa Jal in his for his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in protecting him. Is to show the care of Allah Azza wa Jal for his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, the benefits of asbab al-nuzul, of knowing asbab al-nuzul. Why is it important to know asbab al-nuzul? First, because it shows us that the Quran is revealed from Allah Azza wa Jal, because it tells for each incident or for many incidents what is the reason for them, and this can only be from Allah Azza wa Jal. The second is that to show that Allah Azza wa Jal cares for his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. بيان عناية الله تعالى برسوله في الدفاع صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدفاع عنه. مثال ذلك قوله تعالى: وقال الذين كفروا لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة كذلك لنثبت به فؤادك ورتلناه ترتيلا. An example is in response to the statement of the kuffar. They said, why isn't the Quran revealed all at once in one chunk? So Allah Azza wa Jalla responds by saying, this is, which means that is why we send it like this, so that we confirm your heart with it, we make your heart stronger and more steady with it. وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا, and we send it in excerpts or in pieces. وَكَذَلِكَ, same for آيات الإفك. It was the ayat of the big lies that were fabricated against Aisha radiallahu anha. So Allah Azza wa Jal clarified the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by revealing these ayat from Surah An-Nur. The third benefit, بيان عناية الله تعالى بعباده في تفريج كرباتهم وإزالة غمومهم. It shows the care, Allah's care for His ibad, for the believers, in that He elevates their hardships and helps them. مثال ذلك آية التيمم. Example is the ayah of tayammum, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, that Aisha lost a necklace while she was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of his trips. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed a little, delayed the travel until they found the necklace. And the people stayed with him, but then they ran out of water. So they told that to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They went to Abu Bakr and they said, we do not have any water. So he mentioned the hadith, وفيه فأنزل الله آية التيمم فتيمموا فقال أسيد بن حضير ما هي بأول بركتكم يا آل أبي بكر والحديث في البخاري. So this hadith in Bukhari says that Allah Azza wa Jal sent down the ayah of, regarding tayammum, when they did not have any water in their trip and they were concerned how are they going to make wudu. So this ayah was revealed for that reason. Now Usayd ibn Hubayr, one of the Sahaba, said, this is not the first blessing that comes by your way, O family of Abu Bakr. Which means because Aisha lost her necklace, that was a reason for the revelation of an important ayah regarding tayammum. To lose the necklace? Yeah, exactly. Number four, to understand, knowing the asbab, knowing the reasons of revelation, enables us or helps us understand properly the meaning of the ayat. Helps properly understand the meaning of the ayat. فهم الآية على الوجه الصحيح. Example is the ayah, إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما. صفا and مروة are of the شعائر, of the rites of Allah. So whoever makes Hajj to the house or Umrah, then it is not wrong for him to make tawaf between them, which means to go between them. Now the word la junaha alayh, it's not wrong. It could be understood for the apparent for a quick reading, or for some, actually for some of the people at the time of Aisha radiallahu anha, for the time after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately, that it means that it's up to you. If you do it, that's fine. If you don't do it, it is fine. La junaha alayh. However, the Aisha explained, and he doesn't bring the hadith here, but Aisha, when some people told her, does it mean that you have the option when you go for Hajj and Umrah not to make tawaf? She said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتَ يَا ابْنَ أَخِي. It is a big mistake that you are saying, oh my son. Because if this is, if it is according to your understanding, the ayah would have said, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَلَّا يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. It is okay for him not to make sa'i, but the ayah says it is okay for him to make tawaf between them. It doesn't say not to make tawaf. And then it is explained that Anas bin Malik radiallahu an, in this regard, he said, كُنَّا نَرَى أَنَّهُمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. We used to think that making tawaf or sa'i between Safa and Marwa is one of the jahili practices, one of the kuffar practices. So when Islam came, we stopped doing it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this ayah. So the nafyu al-janah, la junah alayhi, nafyu al-junah, negating the junah, which means the hardship, or the it is to say it is okay, is for people who used to think it is not okay. They used to think it is not okay to go to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa because they thought it is jahili practice. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says it is okay. So he's not saying it's okay, which means it's okay to do it or not to do it. No, he's saying it is not permissible to do it. You thought that it is not, but it is permissible. So by knowing the reason of the revelation, people will understand the ayah properly, as in this example. But as for whether it is required or not, it is required, because Allah says min sha'a'irillah. It's one of Allah's rights. Rights, R-I-T-E, not R-I-G-H-T. Min sha'a'irillah. Now, here is an important thing regarding asbab al-nuzul, the reasons or the causes of revelation, which is that some people think that if there was a specific reason for the ayah to be revealed, therefore, that is all what matters. When it happened for that specific case, and that's it. We do not have to be concerned about it anymore. No. Al-ibra bi'umumi lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. Al-ibratu bi'umumi lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. Which means, this is a general rule, that what matters is the generality of the meaning and not the specific reason for it. Al-ibratu bi'umumi lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. So he says, إذا نزلت الآية لسبب خاص ولفظها عام كان حكمها شاملا لسببها ولكل ما يتناوله لفظها لأن القرآن نزل تشريعا عاما لجميع الأمة فكانت العبرة بعموم لفظه لا بخصوص سببه. Which means if an ayah is revealed for a specific reason but its wording is general, then its حكم, its ruling will include anything. Would include its reason, the reason why it was revealed, and anything that also falls under its wording or under its meaning. Because the Quran was revealed as a general legislation for the whole Ummah, and therefore what is of importance is that the generality of the statement and not the specific reason for which it was revealed. Example: the ayah which says, I bring the hadith from its beginning, Hilal bin Umayyah, he qadhafa imra'atahu 'ala an-nabi bi shariq ibn Sahma. Hilal bin Umayyah, one of the Sahaba, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, my wife has committed zina with Shariq bin Sahma. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you have to bring a proof or I will whip you 80 whips as in the Quran. So, فقال هلال والذي بعثك بالحق إني للصادق. By him who sent you with the truth, I am saying the truth. فلينزلن الله ما يبرئ ظهري. And inshallah Allah will send that which will purify me, which means he is asking Allah to send Quran to prove that he is truthful. ما يبرئ ظهري من الحد. What would purify or save my back from the lashing. فنزل جبريل وأنزل عليه. So Jibreel came down and he sent brought with him the ayat. والذين يرمون أزواجهم ولم يكن لهم شهداء إلا أنفسهم فشهادة أحدهم أربع شهادات. Those who what is يرمون, those who accuse their wives of committing zina and they do not bring four witnesses, because the rule is that anyone who accuses a woman or a man of committing zina, he has to bring four witnesses in Surah An-Nur, in the beginning of Surah An-Nur. Then right after that, it gives this exception, that if a man, he accuses his own wife, then, or vice versa, then he has, all he needs is to swear four times. Arba'a shahadat, says by Allah four times that he is truthful and that Allah's curse would be on him if he is lying. And she protects herself from punishment in this life by saying, for swearing four times that he is lying, and that the fifth time is غضب الله عليه كان من الصادقين, that may Allah's anger and wrath be against her upon her if he is saying the truth. So this ayah was revealed for a specific reason, but there is, for example, another case where a man came and he said that the hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, that Uwaymin al-Ajlani came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Rasulullah, رَجُلٌ وَجَدَ مَعَ امْرَأَتِهِ رَجُلًا أَيَقْتُلُهُ فَتَقْتُلُونَهُ أَمْ كَيْفَ يَصْنَى. He said, if I see a man with my wife, if one sees a man with his wife, which means committing zina, would he kill him and then you kill him back, or what can he do? So the Prophet ﷺ said, قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنَ فِيكَ وَفِي صَاحِبَتِكَ. He said, Allah has sent down Quran, has revealed Quran in regard to you and your wife, which means the Quran has already been revealed in cases like this. فأمرهما بالملاعنة, and he commanded them to do the ملاعنة that was revealed in the case of Hilal bin Umayyah. فلاعنة, so they made the ملاعنة. So therefore this specific ayah became generalized to other which was for a specific reason general. The Prophet ﷺ applied it to another case even though it was not revealed for that other specific case. No, if they say mula'ana, they come in front of the judge or the ruler and he says my wife committed zina, and he commands him, he brings her in front of him and he commands him to say I by Allah, I saw her, I testify by Allah that she committed zina. I testify four times, and then the fifth time, may Allah's curse be on me if I am lying. So if she doesn't say anything in response to that, she remains silent, then it is taken as a proof that she did it, and therefore she will be punished the way that by stoning. Now if she does not, if she is afraid of being stoned, if he is lying, she claims innocence by saying the four times and the fifth that may Allah's wrath be on her if he is lying. So in that case the judge goes by what's apparent. She refuted that. She's saying he is lying, he's saying she is lying. So he separates between them. They cannot go back to each other anymore, and he does not stone her. And then between her and Allah, whether she was lying or saying the truth. Same thing. So. No, this mula'ana is only for the case of zina. Now there is something else which is called mubahala, and mubahala is like what the Prophet ﷺ did with the Christians. He said, قل تعالوا ندعو أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. So mubahala means they bring their families and everything, ourselves, yourselves, our families and your families, and ask Allah sincerely, each one of us, to bring the curse of Allah on those who are lying. But this was done in this case, and even that some of the scholars do not allow it to happen for every simple and big things among the Muslims. And there is a discussion that I have on one tape by Sheikh Albani about this, and he is against using it in these normal cases where you have an argument with someone and you say you are. So now discussion of this brief discussion of Ulum al-Quran, now we get to the point of discussing the Mecki and the Madani, a Quran which was revealed in Mecca, and the Quran, or the parts of the Quran which were revealed in Medina. So he says here, Sheikh Muhammad al-Athaymeen, he says, نزل القرآن على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مفرقا في خلال 23 سنة قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثرها بمكة. The Quran was revealed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in little pieces spread over a period of 23 years, of which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spent the most in Mecca, the most time in Mecca, because he spent 13 years in Mecca of his ba'tha, of his prophethood, and about approximately 10 years in Medina. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. A Quran that we spread or separated so that you would read it to the people in parts, and we sent it down bit by bit. Tanzeela means one bit after another, step by step. وَلِذَلِكَ قَسَمَ, that is why the ulama, because of this, the fact that part of it was revealed in Mecca, part of it was revealed in Medina, the scholars have divided the Quran in general to two major categories. One of them is the Mecca Quran, and that the other is the Madani. Makki is that which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he migrated to Medina, and the other al-Madani is that which was revealed to him after he migrated to Medina. So even if some Quran was revealed to him and some was revealed to him in Mecca after Hijra, that counts as Madani. Okay, like after he conquered Mecca, he entered it, and then he went and had the battle of Hunayn not too far from Mecca, near Taif. All of this is not considered as Mecca, it's considered Madani. Okay, because it was after he migrated to Medina, so it carries a different spirit, as we will hear. وعلى هذا فقوله صلى الله تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا من القسم المدني. Also the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says what means today I have completed your deen for you and perfected my favors on you and accepted Islam as your deen. This is considered madani, even though it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hajjat al-Wada', in his final pilgrimage in Arafah, and Arafah is just a suburb of Mecca, and yet it counts as a madani. ففي صحيح البخاري عن عمر رضي الله عنه أنه قال قد عرفنا ذلك اليوم والمكان الذي نزلت فيه على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نزلت وهو قائم بعرفة يوم الجمعة. عمر رضي الله عنه said, and this has a longer report that we do not need to get into it now. He said that we know the day and the place in which this ayah was revealed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was revealed to him while he was standing in Arafah on his Friday, of Jummah. What's the difference between the Makki and the Madani Quran, or the parts of the Quran? There is a difference, of course. That's why the scholars have made this distinction, and the difference is from style-wise and subject-wise. There are two major areas of difference. As for style, الغالب في المكي قوة الأسلوب وشدة الخطاب. The most prevalent in the Makki revealed Quran is the strength of presentation or of language, and the toughness of the speech. That is, it is direct, strong, and it faces the people in a way that would immediately open their minds if they are people who are guided. لأن غالب المخاطبين معرضون مستكبرون ولا يليق بهم إلا ذلك. Because most, the majority of the people who were addressed by it were of those who were disobedient, who were rebellious, and they did not deserve other than that. You can read, for example, Surah Al-Muddathir or Surah Al-Qamar. Surah Al-Muddathir, for example, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, in very abrupt, short sentences, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. And then he says, he addresses the, or talks about one of the disobedient people. فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدَ كَلَّا إِنَّهُ كَانَ لِآيَاتِنَا عَنِيدًا سَأُرْهِقُهُ صَعُودًا إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ etc. To the rest of the ayat, you find that it is short, abrupt, strong ayat, one after the other, hitting him, like hitting the hammer. If you are hammering a nail, you use strong, short, fast strokes, one after the other. So that is, you see very frequently in the Makki ayat. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرض ويقول سحر مستمر وكذبوا واتبعوا أهواءهم وكل أمر مستقر ولقد جاءهم من الأنباء ما فيه مزدجر حكمة بالغة فما تغني النذر. You see it all the same thing, short sentences, and they go straight to the point. As for the Madani, فالغالب في أسلوبه اللين وسهولة الخطاب لأن غالب المخاطبين مقبلون منقادون اقرأ سورة المائدة. As for the Madani, the majority, most of its style is that it is soft and easy in addressing the people, because the majority of the people who are addressed by it are those who are who accepted, who turned to Allah Azza wa Jal, and who are willing to listen and accept and obey and follow. For example, read Surah Al-Ma'idah, or any Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah Al-Anfal. You see the Tawbah, these Madani Surah, you find that the clearly the spirit of teaching and guiding and encouraging more apparent in these ayats. Secondly, الغالب في المكي قصر الآيات وقوة المحاجة لأن غالب المخاطبين معاندون مشاقون فخوطبوا بما تقتضيه حالهم. The most of the Makki ayat revelations were short ayat and strong in argument, in proving things, because the majority of those who were addressed were mu'anidun, that is, they were people who were stubborn in their disobedience, and so they were addressed in a manner that is suitable to their situation. And he says, read for example Surah At-Tur, والطور وكتاب مسطور في رق منشور والبيت المعمور والسقف المرفوع والبحر المسجور إن عذاب ربك لواقع ما له من دافع. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives them arguments one after the other. If you read for example in Surah here he brings to their attention that the inevitability of the punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that they should be expecting it after he made all these oaths in the beginning of the surah. إن عذاب ربك لواقع ما له من دافع يوم تمور السماء مورا, etc. to the end of the surah. In Surah Yasin, or Surah Al-Qiyamah, you see that Allah Azza wa Jal argues and gives the evidence to the people who want to listen about the creation of the human being. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Doesn't the human being see that you have created him from a nutfa, a sperm, and then he is a great arguer after that. He likes to argue, even though he started from such a tiny creation, now he's big and he wants to argue. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. He is giving us an example, or presenting an argument in his discussion. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. And he forgot the way he was created. قَالَ مَنْ يَحِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. So he says, who is capable of giving life to the bones after they are totally gone, and dissolved in the and rotten? مَنْ يَحِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. قُلْ يَحِيَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Say, the one who created it the first time from this sperm, he made this great sized human being with bones and flesh and blood and everything. He is capable to repeat the creation. So you see, it is argument and in a strong and short way, like stabs, quick stabs, or as I said, quick hammering of the nail, but to address them in a way that is convincing and terminating their argument immediately, contrary to the Madani. أما المدني فالغالب فيه طول الآيات. The Madani, the majority or the most apparent feature of it is that the ayat are long. وذكر الأحكام مرسلة بدون محاجة. And the mentioning of legislations, of أحكام, of rules, مرسلة بدون محاجة, which means just, they are mentioned what you are supposed to do, what you are supposed to not to do, without argument that this is because such and such and such and such and such. So there is not that much argumentation in the Madani, because their situation required that He says, read for example Surah Al-Baqarah. And again, if you read Surah Al-Ma'idah, you find that the first five ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah take more than one page, a little over a page for five ayat. So it's because the ayat are very long, while as you saw in Surah Al-Tur, Wat-Tur, Wa-Kitab Al-Mastur, Firaq Al-Manshur, Wal-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, Wal-Saff Al-Marfu', Wal-Bahr Al-Masjur, 6-7 ayat in two lines. Whereas in Surah Al-Ma'idah, you have full page, five ayat in a full page. And similarly, you find that there's, rather than arguing, you find that in these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the obligations and then encouraging the people to do them, reminding them of Allah's mercy, of Allah's forgiveness, of Allah's seeing and watching over them, and things like that. And if you read in Surah An-Nisa, for example, which is also Madani, you find that Allah gives the ruling, and he ends it in every surah with reminding about Allah's attributes. Wa kana Allahu aliman hakima, wa kana Allahu samian basira, etc., etc. In the whole surah of An-Nisa, you can find almost in every ayah of this surah. Okay, so this is in regard to the style, the difference in style between the Makki and the Madani. As for the subject matter, the difference, what is the difference between the Makki and the Madani? As for the subject matter, حيث الموضوع الغالب في المكي تقرير التوحيد والعقيدة السليمة خصوصا ما يتعلق بتوحيد الألوهية والإيمان بالبعث لأن غالب المخاطبين ينكرون ذلك. In the Makki, the apparent feature is the establishment of tawheed and the true faith, the true belief, especially in that in matters which relate to the tawheed of uluhiyya, to establishing the uluhiyya of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that He is the only God to be worshipped, and the belief in resurrection, because the majority of those who were addressed at that time did not rejected that. أما المدني فالغالب فيه تفصيل العبادات والمعاملات لأن المخاطبين قد تقرر في نفوسهم التوحيد والعقيدة السليمة فهم في حاجة لتفصيل العبادات والمعاملات. As for the Madani, the majority, in its majority, you find detailing the worships, acts of worship, how to do certain acts of worship, mu'amalat, dealings, because those who were addressed, the tawheed and the true correct aqidah or creed had already been established in their hearts. So what they need is to learn more about what to do, what kind of practices they need to do in acts of worship or in dealings. So if you go now to Surah, if you compare between Surah Al-An'am, which is one of the very long surah, one of the longest, and Surah Al-A'raf, which is also one of the longest, and Surah both of them being Makki, and you go to also two of the other longest, Ma'idah and Nisa, compare between the two, you find that for the first two, it is mostly, the emphasis is mostly on believing in Allah, believing in worshipping Him alone, rejecting the idols, and all that. Whereas if you go to Surah to the other two surah, Nisa and Ma'idah, you find that it is mostly matters of legislation, how to deal with this, how to deal with the people of the book, how to deal with the munafiqeen, how to deal with women, how to do the inheritance, how to perform wudu, etc., etc. So you find that there is this clear difference between the two types. And the other difference in subject matter is الإفاضة في ذكر الجهاد وأحكامه والمنافقين وأحوالهم في القسم المدني لابتداء الحال لذلك حيث شرع الجهاد حيث شرع الجهاد وظهر النفاق بخلاف القسم المكي. You find in the Madani an extensive mentioning of jihad and the rules and legislations regarding jihad, and also regarding the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, and their situation, their dealings, the way they act, and so on. This you find it in the Madani, because it is needed at that time. That's at the time when the jihad was legislated and made an obligation, and the hypocrites became apparent, or became, you know, rampant, or there were many of them at that time. Contrary to the Mecca. Why is that? Because in Mecca, there's no need to be a hypocrite. The Muslims were the weaker ones. So there's no need for anybody, any kafir, to claim, oh, I am a Muslim, I'm willing to accept beating and killing and all that, just to say I'm a Muslim, whereas in my heart I'm not a Muslim. Nobody will do that, right? Because a munafiq is somebody who claims Islam because that benefits him in a certain way. And nobody benefits from claiming Islam in Mecca if he is not a true Muslim at heart. Okay, but in Medina, Muslims became powerful, they became the dominant power, so the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, needed many, those who were hypocrites, they did that because that is a way to benefit from the power of Islam, to claim that they are part of the existing power or regime. And similarly for jihad, jihad was not permitted, fighting was not permitted in Mecca yet. Muslims were not able to do it yet, so Allah Azza wa Jalla did not let them or allow them to do it until after they migrated to Medina, and it was some time after going to Medina, maybe a year or less or more, but it was quite a long period of time before it was decreed that they would start, you know, defending the deen by force. What the benefit of knowing the difference between the Makki and Madani ayat? Why is it important to know this? There are many benefits, among which are the following. Number one, ظهور بلاغة القرآن في أعلى مراتبها حيث يخاطب كل قوم بما تقتضيه حالهم من قوة وشدة أو لين وسهولة. First, it shows the eloquence, the highest ranks of eloquence of Quran, in that it addresses every people in accordance with what their situation requires, whether it requires abruptness and force, or ease and softness. And secondly, ظهور حكمة التشريع في أسمى غاياته حيث يتدرج شيئا فشيئا بحسب الأمم على ما تقتضيه حال المخاطبين واستعدادهم للقبول والتنفيذ. To display the wisdom of legislation in the best way, because it shows that it comes gradually, it goes gradually into giving every people what they need according to their preparation and their readiness to receive and to fulfill what they are commanded to do. And thirdly, تربية الدعاة إلى الله تعالى وتوجيههم إلى أن يتبعوا ما سلكه القرآن في الأسلوب والموضوع من حيث المخاطبين بحيث يبدأهم بالأهم فالأهم وتستعمل الشدة في موضعها والسهولة في موضعها. It is also to educate those who make da'wah to Allah, the du'a, to guide them so that they would follow the manner of the Quran in both style and subject matter, which means to adjust this style, our style, and our subject matter, our way of addressing people, in accordance with what they need. So you cannot talk to all people in a similar way, just as Allah did not talk to all people in the same way, but talk to them in the way that is most appropriate for them, and therefore talk to each people by that, start by telling them that which is most important to them, using hardness or harshness wherever it is required and useful, and using softness where it is useful, and without, instead of, you know, switching things around as many ignorant people do. And number four, the fourth benefit is that تمييز الناسخ من المنسوخ فيما لو وردت آيتان مكية ومدنية يتحقق فيهما شروط النسخ فإن المدنية ناسخة للمكية لتأخر المدنية عنها. That would enable us to know what is, if there are some ayat which have abrogated other ayat, which have made nasakh of a previous ayat, if we know which is Makki and which is Madani, which was revealed in Mecca and which is revealed in Medina, then we know which was later than the other, and therefore we say that this is the one which carries the final ruling, and because it came after that previous one which had a different ruling. So these are four of the important benefits of knowing the difference between Makki and Madani, and this is a good place to stop before we get into a different subject or a different title here. So I stop here, and inshallah we continue with this. Yeah, we use the remaining time on this tape for something to do. The four, story of Hajjaj with Sa'id ibn Jubayr, or is it in this or in that one? That's okay. It's a long story, it's not a short one. Actually, it's published in a booklet. I might have it, inshallah I can read it to you, but it's a long one. It shows how they discussed over a span of about 30 pages how he called him and he wanted to kill him, and he said certain things to him, and he tried to scare him, and Sa'id ibn Jubayr was very firm in his belief, and he showed the weakness of and fragile nature of al-Abbas, in spite of his presumed great power being in control of things. Yet he appeared as a very shaky person in the face of this great alim. And in the end, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, just before dying, he said, "I ask Allah Azza wa Jal not to prevent you from harming any other Muslim after me." And indeed, right after he killed him, or he ordered him to be beheaded, he fell sick, and he died 2 weeks later or something like that. Hajjaj. So he didn't kill anybody. He didn't get the chance to kill anybody after him. The four things that you mentioned, the four benefits or uses of knowing the difference between Makki and Madani, is that it shows first the the great eloquence of the Quran, and that it addresses each people in accordance with what they need, whether it is a hard and harsh style or easy and simple style. And second is that it displays the wisdom of the legislation, and that it goes gradually into requiring people to do things when in accordance with their readiness to fulfill and accept. And thirdly, it helps the da'i to Allah Azza wa Jal to understand that there should be different ways of addressing people. So you address people who require a simple and easy approach with ease, and those who need a harder approach in a harder way, and not vice versa. And then to enable us to distinguish between which ayat, if there are ayat which deal with the same matter but they have provide different rulings, then we know which one is the abrogating and which one is the abrogated of the ayat, by knowing which preceded and which came later. And but by reading the Quran now with knowing these general guidelines, it should be possible for us to, by reading a certain surah, to say whether it's Makki or Madani. There is no need to read in the beginning, because you see in the Quran they write usually after with the title of the ayah, they write whether it's Makki or Madani. Try to make it like an exercise. Go through the surah without looking at what it says in the beginning, and see from the subject matter, from the style, as we discussed, if you can guess whether this surah is Makki or Madani. And usually it works, because you know there is clear distinction between the style and the subject matter, as we said, in both cases. And therefore you can almost pinpoint all of the surah. There are some surah, very few, which have a mixture of Makki and Madani. Some ayat were revealed in Mecca, some ayat were revealed in Medina, and but these are very rare. Allahu a'lam.
Yeah. How we can approach those people, because they are ignoring really some main major ayat or requirements or commands of Allah.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-Iman ma waqara fi al-qalbi wa saddaqahu al-amal," which means iman is that which seeps down or settles down into the heart, and then is confirmed by deeds. And even though the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim community as a whole, went through this stage of development until it was established as a nation in Medina, but it doesn't mean that every person had to be to go through all this these stages. And the Prophet ﷺ did not tell people who came to him in Medina and embraced Islam. He didn't say go and spend a time of 10 years, 15 years learning the iman carefully before you are allowed to start practicing. Rather, he immediately commanded them to practice. In some cases, even the hardest acts of worship in Islam, which is jihad. There are people who embrace Islam, and immediately they came to the Prophet ﷺ. One man, he came to him and he said, "I want to fight with you." He said, "But I don't want to be a Muslim." He said, "No, you cannot fight with me until you are a Muslim." He said, "Okay, I testify that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." And then he fought and he was killed immediately. He was in that fighting. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he did very little and he gained a lot for this man. So he did not tell him, "Okay, now that you have become a Muslim, go home, study, do some research, write."